turn the tab of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, continuing with the cases that were enumerated in the Mishnah, where one would be Chayav for Tabachu Machar, again leading into the other Mishnayot where it would be Patur. The case here is Ganav Tabach for Yom HaKippurim. Imre, Amai, Nehi, Dikhala Leka, Malkut Mihilika. True, on Yom Kippur, there's no Chiyuv Mitzah, I mean, there's no Chiyuv Tzkila like by Shabbos. But nevertheless, it's still a Chiyuv Karet. And we know that all Chiyuv Karet come with a punishment of Malkus. If you get Hasra, then you would get Malkus. If there is Malkus, then Mekaimlan, the Eno Loket, Umeshalim. And the general principle that we don't give Malkus and pay, meaning that the Gemara is going to dash in Malkus, could they be Shato? Right, that only in one punishment you give him, not multiple punishments. And Loka Mishalem is multiple punishments. So how come we're allowing him here to get both Malkus and Mishalem? So it says, Imrei Hamani, Rabbi Meir. This could be the position. Who says the author of our Mishnah could be Rabbi Meir? Damar Loka Mishalem. He is of the opinion that you do have Loka Mishalem. So it says, I Rabbi Meir, Afilu Tavach B'Shabbat. If it's Rabbi Meir, then why are you limiting the case to Yom HaKippurim? Even by the case of Shabbos, where there's a Chi of Mitzah, right, then he should also say he will not hold up accumulate the Rabbi Meir, meaning that Rabbi Meir does not seem to be bothered by the fact that a person can get multiple punishments. So that has equal application between Loki Mishalem and Mitzah and Mishalem. Chi Teima Loki Mishalem Mitzlei Meit Mishalem Leitlei. So let's say that he differentiates. Maybe his position is that Malkus and Tashlum can go together. When it comes to Mitzah and Tashlum, they don't go together. It says, hello, Vatanya. We have a Braita. Ganav v'tavach v'shabbos. Ganav v'tavach l'avodazara. Ganav shor nitzkal v'tvacho. Shalem arba v'chamisha. Divrei Rabbi Meir. It's pretty explicit. The Rabbi Meir's opinion is that when you are gonav, and then toveach on Shabbos itself, or you would otherwise, what we would say, have accumulated Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir still says you are chayav for dalad chamisha. So you see, Rabbi Meir thinks that neit umishalim, and then ganav v'tavach l'avodazara, and ganav shuran yiskal t'vacho mishalim arva chamisha. Divrei Rabbi Meir, chamim potrim. In all these cases, the chamim are potrim. Where it says imre bar mino dahi, right? That excluding that case, the hai mar law. So now we said, I'm Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lam, Rabbi Yirmi, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi La, V'chol Chavruta, Chaburta, which made Rabbi Yochanan Imrei, B'toveyach, Ayadei Acher. Now the case here is when there's a third party doing the Tavicha. So what's the answer, or the solution to the problem is, that it's not the person, the same person who's getting the Chi of Mitzvah, it's not the person, right, who's involved in the Gneva. One person stole, and another person did the tvicha, and he's going to be chayev dalad v'chamisha. So the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question.
What's the answer?
Yeah, that excluding this case. This case is a unusual case. It's not right. That braisa is not the normal case. That the way to explain this case, or the way to really solve the problem about what we're talking about here, is to say that this is an unusual case where there's a third party involved. What does that mean, that there's a third party involved? If there's a third party involved, then what's going to happen? One person steals, Reuven steals it, Shimon comes along and shechts it, and who's going to pay the dalad v'chamisha? Reuven. Where do you ever have such a case? That Shimon's doing something wrong, and Reuven's going to be on the hook for the payment for that which Shimon did. That's what I'm going to ask now. Since when is the one person doing the faith, meaning Shimon's doing the faith, and Reuven is going to be on the hook for the payment? Yes, that is the case over here, because it's different by this case. Why? Right, that he shechted it or sold it. Right, by mechira, you must have a third party to be involved in the mechira. Rashi, I think, here says, in mechira l'bishtayim. The mechira is going to be conducted with two people, meaning that you need a lokeach and a mocheh, right? You must have another party to be involved. So too, in the case of tzvicha, even though it's done by another party, you will still be responsible.
Well, the parsha is, but the
Right. That even though, it does not have to be, but the comparison or the hekesh, the mechira says that even when it is ayyid acher, then you will be chayab, you will be accountable. So that will help us here now solve the problem, because now we can explain the braisa. The braisa that has Rabbi Meir's opinion that says by Shabbos, right, that he is meis umishalem. That is because the one who is getting the mitzvah is not the person who is being mishalem. One is getting the mitzvah, right, is a third party who is shechting on Shabbos, but that will still obligate the original feast in paying arba v'chamisha. And then Rabbi Meir now can be the author of our Mishnah. He will be the author of our Mishnah because, number one, he says, what? Loke umishalim, that by Malkus and Shilom, the two can come together. And that's why in the Mishnah it says that if it happened on Yom HaKippurim, you still pay. Why didn't the Mishnah give the example of Shabbos then? She doesn't give the Shabbos, because Rabbi Meir agrees by Shabbos, there would be Kimlei the Rabbi Mimnei if it was one person who did it. But when you have two people who did it, then you can still have a case of what? Of Shabbos being Chayav Nisa and being Mishalein. But if it's one person who did it, there would be Kimlei the Rabbi Mimnei, you wouldn't pay. And that's why Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah. Now, Marz is bringing down two other opinions as to why, by Tzvicha, you could have a third party do it and still be Chayav. Bei Rabbi Shmuel gives an alternative shot, Tana O. It says, Utvacho Umecharo, Umecharo. Rabot et a Shaliach. The O is the ribui for the Shaliach. And Bei Chizki et Tana Takat. The Rabot et a Shaliach. The word Takat over here will be used when it says, you know, Arba. That you'll pay four or five times. That Takat is used to teach us that you are Rabot et a Shaliach. So in each of these, are three different limudim to teach you that even if a third party does it, does the shechita here, nevertheless, you will be held accountable for the arba and chamisha. Right, there is, right. Exactly, there are. The other exception we have is mi'ilah. Over here, there is also an exception, now another exceptional case of shliach v'far v'ira, in the sense that you will be held accountable for the actions of others over here. Matzis klo. Marzutra, mi ika mide, dirila abed ihu lo mechayev, vavet shliach u mechayev. Right, this then comes out, which is, I think, a little bit what Shaul was describing about tzvicha, is that when it comes to mechira, you always need two parties. When it comes to tzvicha, you actually don't have to have two parties. And now you come up with an odd situation, which is if the person themselves does the avira, they'll be patur. If they get a third party to do it, they will be chayav. Where do we ever have an instance where you can't do something and yet have your shliach do it? The basic premise or the basic principle of shlichus is agency. Agency means that the person is acting on my behalf. And when they're acting on my behalf, that means that I could have done it, but I'm just extending someone else to do it on my behalf. Over here, I cannot be mechayev. I can't be chayev on my own behalf. And if I did it, I'd be patur. Yet if I send the shliach, I would be patur.
Yes.
Right. The reason why the person himself is not is patur is not because he's not chayav, right? There's another variable, right? There's another variable that's causing him to be patur. Really, he's chayav to pay over here. He has an exemption. He has an exemption from paying because of the mitzvah that he encounters. That means that if he sends a shliach and therefore he's not encountering the mitzvah, then he would be chayav to be mishalim. Right? It's an important principle of Kimlei Derabbanan. We mentioned this once before. The Ktos mentions this idea. And when it comes to Kimlei Derabbanan, we don't say, this is Bravashi you see from here, we don't say Hutra. We don't say Kimlei Derabbanan means that you are gone, you're patur from Tashlum, the Gamre. That is, as if it doesn't exist. No. You're really chayav, but the Kimlei Derabbanan makes you patur. Which indicates that there might be a need with safety de shamayim. That if you are, even though you're patur from payment, nevertheless, that you should pay in order to let say the day shemayim. Because there really is an obligation, but the obligation is being dismissed because of the kimlei d'rabbanan, but not that the obligation does not exist at all, that there was never a chiyuv here. That's what Rav Ashi says, there was a chiyuv, just your patur. Right? In the case where there's a shliach, you don't have the patur, and therefore you would pay. Rav says, v'ibet oveach edeacher, my time is the rabbonah debatrit. Now you've built such a good case that Tvircha could be done by a third party, then what's the position of the Chachamim that they're poter in that Braisa? Alright, now we explained Rabbi Meir's position why you're Chayav in that Braisa, even though there is Kimlis Rabbi Meir, because Sai met a third party that did it. The case of a third party that did it, why they're coming to say you're patur? There is no kamilat rabbi minay. Why would they say you're patur in this case? Zimrei, man chachamim, Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim are not chachamim in general, but the position of Rabbi Shimon. Domar, shchita shein ruya, lo shma shchita. So as we mentioned in the Mishnah, the last case is in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that a shchita that does not create a kosher animal in the end, that you don't end up with a kosher shchita, that doesn't qualify or classify as shchita. So we're here. What the case is, that he's going to shech on Shabbos, he's going to shech to Avodah Zarah, he's going to shech to Shor Niskal. When you shech to Avodah Zarah, you shech to Shor Niskal, you don't end up with a kosher animal that you can eat afterwards. And therefore it's not classified as shchita. If you don't have shchita, then you're not chayev arba v'chamisha. The only way to be chayev arba v'chamisha is tzvicha. If you have a tzvicha, that is a qualified shchita. So now, the Gemara says, wait. Imre Bishlama Bodhazara Visharaniska. When you're talking about a Bodhazara and Sharaniska, then you can say that Shkita Shaina Ruyahi. El Shabbat. Right, I skipped over that, kind of submerged it there. What about Shabbat? Shabbat, who says that it's a Shkita Ruyahi? By Shabbat, just because someone checks, just because someone checks on Shabbat itself, doesn't mean it's an improper Shkita. Wait, they did something wrong, but it doesn't mean that the animal that is shechted is not a kosher animal. If that's the case, then you have a shchita haruuyah. So why should you be patur? It's not. We have a mishnah shochet b'shabbat. This mishnah just appears, and then we're going to see this appears in a number of cases. This case, this issue of melechat Shabbos appears here in Bava Kamma, appears in Shabbos, appears also in a number of other sects and ketubas. We added that a shochet b'shabbat ubiyom kippurim. When he shechts on Shabbos Yom Kippur, apofi shemitchayev v'nafsho, even though he's chayav, right, with his nefesh, chitato, k'shira, the animal's kosher. Meaning that there's two independent issues. One issue is that he's chayav mitzvah for what he did, but nevertheless, the action that he took is a valid halachic action, and it's a ma'aseh shchita, but the ma'aseh shchita, then it's a kosher animal. That would cause a problem for us. How do we explain the position of the chachamim here that are poter? So when it says, Imre, sever lot to Rabbi Yochanan Natan Lar. He always like Rabbi Zun, the Ufan Asan Lar, which comes to a Mishnah, right? Mishnah in Shabbat. This Mishnah is a three-way machlokus between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan Asan Lar. What happens to someone who does a malach on Shabbat? What's the status of the object on which the malacha is performed? So if I'm a Vashel b'Shabbat, okay, it's okay, guy cooks on Shabbat, Bishogeg, in a case where he's a Vashel b'Shabbat, Bishogeg, Yochal. So when Rabbi Meir says he may eat it, I mean he himself may eat it, and others may eat it right away, because it was shogeg. Therefore there's no reason to give a knas, there's no reason to punish him, it was a shogeg. Did it by accident, so we allow him to eat it, we allow others to eat it. When it comes to the mezid, lo yochal. Right, when it comes to mezid, you may not eat it on that day. Lo yochal means on that day, it's not on Shabbos itself. Rather, achar Shabbos. Right, after Shabbos you're allowed to eat it, that applies to both him and others. I mean, if the Malachat Shabbat becomes a sur, or a surah, and you have to wait till after Shabbat to eat such a cooking, to eat that cooking. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara in Shabbat and other places ask about a principle that we know, which is what's called Kedei Shiatsu. Right, that even though over here we're saying, or it seems to be indicating that immediately after Shabbat one can eat it, right, we have a general principle when it comes to Malachat Shabbat, that if someone does a malach on Shabbat, that you cannot benefit from that malacha until you've waited the amount of time that it would take to do that malacha after Shabbat. But the Ishiyatsu, that's a principle, comes up a lot more in Eretz Yisrael than it does in Chutzlaret. For instance, when a bus driver comes to pick up a group of children, and they're leaving after Shabbat. And lo and behold, right after Shabbat, the bus is right there, ready to leave. Right? And he came, you're all the way up north, and he lives in the center of the country, right? You can't leave right after Shabbos because you did Melechat Shabbos and you're getting a benefit from the Melechat Shabbos of this individual. So you have to wait after Shabbos. You have to wait the amount of time it would have taken for him to drive had he left after Shabbos to get to the location and then only use the bus or use the bus driver. Comes up, Yehuda Omer, reviews his opinion, Bishoge Yochal B'Motzei Shabbat, right? Mezid Lo Yochal Lomit. Right here again, when it comes to shogeg, then he can't eat it on Shabbos itself. He must wait until after Shabbos. Right? Now again, when he says waiting till after Shabbos, I mean him and others must wait until after Shabbos. Right? That's because we're going to go there, knas, altu meizid, in the sense that if he did b'meizid, he's not allowed to eat it, then b'shogeg, we're going to say knas until after Shabbos. B'meizid, when it comes to doing it on purpose, lo yochol al amit, he may never eat it. The individual himself who did the malacha may never eat it. When it comes to achirim, they may eat it after Shabbos. Again, they may eat it after Shabbos because they shiyasu. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, this is his opinion, we're actually after over here. So, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Omer, we pass in the law of Yehuda, but here now, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Shogeg, Yochel, Motzei Shabbat, he may eat it, and Motzei Shabbat, Achibim, for others, but he may not, right, eat it in this instance. So after Shabbat, it's permitted for others, not for him. He did it on purpose, he may not eat it, and others may not eat it. Right now, my time with Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, what's the position of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is an unusual position here. Some of those malach on Shabbos said you may never get benefit for it. I mean, even in his case where he does it amazing, other people may never get any benefit from it. What do they do wrong? Why can't they get benefit from it? This is it. He's already Rabbi Chia, Pitchot Ben Siya, Ushmartem et HaShabbat ki kodesh hi lachem. Ma kodesh asur b'achila, af matzei Shabbat asurim b'achila. Just like kodesh is asur on achila in eating, so too, Shabbos is asur b'achila. Ima kodesh asur b'anah, you would think just like kodesh is also not only asur b'achila, but asur b'anah, af matzei Shabbat asur b'anah, tamalom alachem, shalachem yehei, that belongs to you. Yochol afilu b'shogeg, I would think the same thing would apply to shogeg, that you can't, what, eat it. Tamalom alachalea motumah. And the pasuk is mechalea motumah, b'mezid amarti chavalo b'shogeg. Only b'mezid, not shogeg. So Rabbi Yochanan Sandler has this unusual position, which is that the Maaseh and Shabbos are Nesarim. And a person who does Malacha on Shabbos, the Shein Malacha is Hofes on the object, and it makes the object Asur. And because the object is Asur, then you may not eat it anymore. Here you're Mavasha in order to eat, and therefore you can't eat it after Shabbos, because the Malacha that you did, the effect, the object upon which the Malacha is performed. So now, if we go back and say, okay, who was the author of that position in the Braita? We have a mayor's position who says when it came to a third party doing the malacha, that's why you are chayav misa on Shabbos, because that's the third party, and you're chayav da'al chamisha, that's the original ganav. It's chayav da'al chamisha. Said, who's the position that says the chamim that poter in that case? They'll say you're a potur. So he said, that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes that you need a shechita ruyah. So he said, we have three cases in the Braita, a case of Avodah Zarah, Shoran, Yitzgal, and Shabbos. But what is Arba Shor Niskal? We can explain why it's a case of Shechita She'ena Ru'uya. But Shabbos, how do we explain in the case of Shechita She'ena Ru'uya? That we said, now that is Rabbi Shimon according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Rabbi Shimon according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler believed that Malachat Shabbat are Oster, the object itself. Therefore, if you were Shechting on Shabbos, a Shechita B'meizin on Shabbos would create a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya. Then you have a case where it's not chayav, it's potur, because you don't have a shechita anymore. And that will be explained the position in the Braita of who's potur, that's Rabbi Shimon, according to the position of Rabbi Yochanan Ha Sandler.
From Rabbi Yochanan's own movement, I don't understand how it comes out that the person who did it himself,
B'shogeg,
is not allowed to eat it.
It's not B'shogeg, it's amazing. B'shogeg will just be altu. That's a question like Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda. Is whether it goes or shogeg altu mezid. Is there a knas in shogeg altu mezid?
Because it's really
important. Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's it. That, all those cases are shogeg altu mezid. All right. Now, if a machol gets. No, but that the Gemara says machol motumat. That only has application by mezid, not b'shogeg, right? So that the object only becomes a surah when it's amazed. The case of shogeg, it shouldn't be a surah. That's the case of shogeg atu mezid, because he's the one who performed the malacha. We say, the Gemara there asks, hey, well, if it's shogeg, why don't you go to your vacherim? They never go to the one who does the malacha, right? That shogeg atu mezid. But for others, we're not going to be go there shogeg atu mezid, right? They weren't the ones who actually performed the malacha.
Are all these according to Rav Sandler and other? Is this in the Torah, or is this a smasta?
Pligi bo, Rav Acha, Rav Yehuda. No, exactly your question. Chad amar, Matzei Shabbos d'oraisa. V'chad amar, Matzei Shabbos d'rabbanon. Right? So this position of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, is this a d'oraisa position, or is this a d'rabbanon position? Meaning, do we say Madamar Doraisa Gidamron? The one who says Doraisa, we darshan the pasuk. We darshan a specific pasuk. That's a limud. The limud mi Doraisa. Madamar Derabana and Amakra Kodesh who? Who Kodesh vein Masav Kodesh? Right? Or Kodeshi? Right? He Kodesh vein Masav Kodesh. Meaning that's the reason. There's a reason on Shabbos. When we talk about Shabbos, Shabbos is Kodesh, but the melachot of Shabbos and the objects of melacha on Shabbos are not Kodesh. The Gemara says, "Bishlam adaman demar deraisa matul dahochi." Where the one who says that if deraisa, okay, fine. That's how we understand why Pashur Rabbanon. Alaman damar derabbanon. According to one who says that it's a derabbanon, my Pashur Rabbanon. How can the Rabbanon say patur? How do we explain the position of Rabbi Shimon on the deraisa? Maybe now we don't come up with the shkita sheinu ruya. Truthfully, it is a shkita ruya. It's only midarabbanon that the melacha is asur on Shabbos. Midaraisa, you had a good shkita. On Shabbos, that's the case. You should be chayav dalet v'chamisham. It says Ashara. It's going on the other. It's going on the Avodah Zarah and the Shara Niskal. Right? It's not going on Shabbos. When he said patur means on the Avodah Zarah, they disagree with Rabbi Meir when it comes to Avodah Zarah and Shara Niskal. They don't disagree necessarily when it comes to Shabbos. It would have been a lot easier. So where it says Rabbi Meir, Amay Mechayev, Meshulchet Avodah Zarah. Hey, why is Rabbi Meir Mechayev in the case of Shulchet Avodah Zarah? Right, ain't all Chanami that it's a Shkita, Shein Ruya, and Rabbi Meir doesn't care about that. That's only Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So you have a Shkita, Ruya, and you have two parties over here. You have one party who is doing the Shkita, and one party that is, right, the Gonev or the Ganav. So therefore, the person who gets the Misa, the Chiyuv Misa for the Shkita Avodah Zarah is not the one who's paying the Arba Chamisha. Good. But what about, there's a separate problem. Kaven the Shachat Barkurta Asro. Right, since once you shech a portion of the animal, right, then you are making it asura. I mean, the moment that you cut into this animal the shame of Avodah Zarah, since you go a little bit in, that already makes you what? Asura, meaning that it's asura b'ano, that it is a problem for Avodah Zarah. So if you see, if you look at Rashi, Rashi has one opinion, it looks like Tosafot disagrees with this. Rashi says, came in the shachar b'akurti itzura, right? Mishum zivchei meitim. Right? It becomes as a din of zivchei meitim. Anything that is mukrav to avodah zarah, right? Has a din of zivchei meitim, and it becomes asur b'hana. The kazal kadafko. This Rashi says that the opinion of the Gemara's opinion right now is the yeshnu shchita mitchilat b'tzof. That shchita takes place. But shchita is not a process that happens either early at the end or early at the beginning, but rather it's a continuous process mitchilat b'tzof. That's the case. When you start the shechita, that is when you are making asur b'ana'a. That's when you're bringing mukra b'avodah zarah. We'll see this in a second in the Gemara. Then when it comes to the shechita, you need a complete shechita. You need a finished shechita. So what's the problem? Problem is, as soon as the knife enters the neck, it becomes asur level. It becomes asur b'ano. That is considered something zivchei meitim. It would be mukrav l'avodah zarah. Right now, he has to finish the shechita in order to be chayv l'zalah l'chamisha. Who does it belong to right now? It no longer belongs to the owner. The owner has lost all ownership rights. Has lost all connection to this animal because now became an isurei hana. He's shechting an isurei hana. If he's shechting an isurei hana, you're not chayav. You're shechting. You're doing a shechita on something that's not yours. We said before. If the ganav is able to make a kinyan on the animal and then shecht it, it's not chayav dal v'chamisha, because he's shechting his own animal. It's taken out of the possession of the original owner. So too over here. As soon as they shecht the avodah zarah, then yitzra hanah kicks in. As soon as yitzra hanah connects in, if you've detached it from the original owner. If you detached it from the original owner, then he shouldn't be chayav dal v'chamisha over here. How do you have a case, right, where you can have both mukav avodah zarah and be chayav dal v'chamisha? They're almost mutually exclusive. Tosfos says, look at the first Tosfos over here, it seems to be disagreed with Rashi. He says, V'afilu l'man d'amar, en l'shchita l'basof. Even according to one who says that there's only a shchita in the sof, means as opposed to Rashi who says that this is all according to the opinion who says that shchita is mitzvah sof, and therefore when you start to shecht it for avodah zarah, that's when it becomes Yisur B'Anah. Tosfos says, even according to one who says there's only shchita basof, nevertheless, neseret v'pur t'kamo, it's still a surah in the first cut, sh'a Yisur toli b'masev alo shchita. When it comes to avodah zarah, the din is not a din in shechita, it's a din in maiseh. Maiseh that is done l'shem avodah zarah. As soon as you begin the action towards avodah zarah, even though that's not the halachic action of shechita, nevertheless it becomes asur b'ano, even though there will only be a shechita or a classified halachic shechita at the end. Rashi seems to need, in order to be asur, when you shech the avodah zarah, it has to be a halachic action that you're taking. That can only be when you believe that there's shechita mitzchilat tov. Because it says, no, any maaseh can be osir of the animal, even though it's not a halachic maaseh. And therefore, even if, according to one who says that shechita is only basof, when you start the shechita process, that already is osir of the animal. And how are you going to come up with a case here that you're osir of avodah zarah, and also chayiv and da'at behei? So it says, Omer ben gemar zvicha hu ovda. Right, it says, he can qualify how he's being obeyed this avodah zarah. Right, when he says, I'm only shechting it by avodah zarah in the completion of the shechita. And at the end of shechita, that's when I'm being shochet this avodah zarah. Once he does that, right, then he makes them simultaneous. The shechita avodah zarah and the arba b'chamisha now happen simultaneously. And when he's shechting it, he's shechting the animal that's still owned by the original owner. Shornisgal isuri hananinu. Right? So then again, now you dealt with avodah zarah. What about joining scouts? It's true, not lav demareta kavach. Again, you're not shechting anything owned by the original owner. So now we have to come up. This is going to be a coin. Amar Rav Acha my eskina is going to master the shomer. It's a case where he gave it over his shore to a shomer. Bezik bebeit shomer, and in the house of the shomer, it went out and did damage. Vehu ad bebeit shomer, and became muad in the house of the shomer. Venigmar dino bebeit shomer. And then it was Nigmar Din, and it became a Sharni Skal in the house of the Shomer. Rabbi Meir several like Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Meir is going to have to hold like Rabbi Yaakov. Usri like Rabbi Shimon is going to have to hold like Rabbi Shimon. Why is this? Several like Rabbi Yaakov, Damar, Afmishik, Marzino, Ephzero Shomer, the Bali Mukzar. So we had this earlier on, right, back on Daphne, hey, it's Machlokit. When can a Shomer say, Hari Shal Khalifanecha? When can he return the shore and say, here's your shore back? You gave me a shore to watch, I'm handing you back the shore. So we there, over there, the two opinions. So one opinion is that only before the Gemara Din can he hand it back, because it has not become, right, a Yisuri Ana at that point. It's not a worthless animal. So then he can say, Arei Shokhal Lefanecha. Another opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, is that even after the Gemara Din, the Shomer can say, Arei Shokhal Lefanecha, take back your short. So this will be according to the opinion that says that even after the Gemara Din, you can hand your short back. This server like Rabbi Shimon, he also Rabbi Shimon Damar, Gvara Gorim, the Mamon, Kemamon Dami. Something that protects you from having to pay money has value to it. So in this case, what happens? The Shomer has an animal that is now Asur Biano, but if he hands his animal back to the owner, it could be Patur from any payment. He just hands it back to the animal and he's done. So in that case, that's a Gvara Gorim, the Mamon, something that protects him from having to sell out the value of the shore to the owner, and therefore have monetary value from the sense that it's a davara gorein lamamon. So in this case, if you go ahead and shech the animal, what are you doing? The third party comes to shech the animal, you caused the loss to the shomer. You caused the loss to the shomer because he could have just handed it back to the original owner. That's what it says. It's not. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kochim shechayim v'achayim tam, chayav. And then in a case where you have kochim, that you separate out something that you're going to bring to Hekdesh, and then somehow someone steals it or ruins it, does something to it, right? That, and you're responsible to replace that animal, then chayav, the one who does that damage to the animal, even though you don't own it, it's in Hekdesh's possession. The only thing it protects you from is if the person takes a nether to bring an animal, bring a korban, right? If the korban is not brought, he has to replace that animal. That's the idea of a nether. A nether means that you're obligated to bring the animal. If that animal that you have separated out is not brought, you must replace that animal. So here, when someone comes and does damage to the animal, even though it belongs to Hekdesh, nevertheless, it's helping you because it's protecting you. You have to supply a replacement animal. So if you damage that animal, right, that davar agorim lamamon is kamamon dami. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Right, now, alma, davar agorim lamamon kamamon dami. So that'll explain our brayso. Now, well, we have three cases in the brayso. We have a case of Shabbos, a case of avodah zarah, and a case of shorah niskal. What are all the cases that are explained in the brayso? A mayor holds that shorah b'shabbos you're chayav, because there are two different people involved. There's a third party and the original ganav. The ganav is chayv zad chamisha. The third party is chayv nisa. Comes to shor niskal and it comes to shor avodah zarah. And by shor avodah zarah, it's a case where he says that the avodah zarah is only worshipped when he gets to the end of the shechita. Therefore, the shechita of the two avodah zarah and the chiyuv zad chamisha happens simultaneously. But again, it's two different people. One person is chayav for the avodah zarah. The other person, the original ganav, is chayav v'dal chamisha. When it comes to case of shor niskal, it has to be a case where we hold like Rabbi Yaakov, we hold like Rabbi Shimon. Oh, it's a case where the shomer has the animal. The animal became a mu'ad and chayav nisa in the hands of the shomer. And once now, there's going to be nigmar din. Basin already passed on this shore, it's going to nisa. Now the shomer, for the shomer, no, to no one else in the world besides the shomer, is this worth money? It's worth money to the shomer because he can hand it back to the original owner. Since he can hand it back to the original owner, right, therefore it has value. A value in the sense that Zavar Gorim the Mamon, like Rabbi Shimon is Kamamundami. And therefore if you go ahead now and check this animal, you're causing him a real monetary loss. He has ownership in this animal from the sense that it has monetary value. Because of that ownership, that tvicha mechira will make you chayav dalad and chamishah in this case. Amrav Kana, Amrita the Shmaita Kamei Rav Zvid, Minarda. I said over this whole thing in front of Rav Zvid, Minarda. Says, Mi Matzit, Mokumat Matzitim to Rabbi Meir. Wait a minute, can you really set up this whole Mishnah like Rabbi Meir? This whole Gemara here is after the fact to get Rabbi Meir to be the author of our Mishnah. Can that really work? Velo to Rabbi Shimon, and not like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Vaktani Seifa. Rabbi Shimon poked there, Bishnei Elu. It sounds like Rabbi Shimon is poked there in these last two cases of Mishnah. Mechlal, the Bekula Matzitim Modeh. That suggests that Rabbi Shimon agrees to all the other cases in our Mishnah. So he says, Amalei, no, that's not it. It's Michlav de Lode, Betavach, Umachar, the Refuah of the Klavim. Now, when we talk about Rabbi Shimon's opinion, Rabbi Shimon, there were four cases at the end of our Mishnah. Remember, there were four cases where he was either Shochet the Refuah, Shochet the Klavim, and then there was a case where he was Shochet, right, for Chulin Bazara, and a case where he was Shochet Nimse Trefa. Those are the last four cases in the Mishnah. Of those four cases, the last two Rabbi Shimon disagrees with. Why is he agree with them? It's a Shochet, he found a Trefa, and it's Shochet, Chulin Bazara. Both of those are invalid Shchitot. Since they're invalid Shchitot, they're, you can't be Chayav. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. When it's an invalid Shchita, it's not classified as a Shchita. So then Gemara says, tried to imply from that the rest of the Mishnah Rabbi Shimon agrees with. That's the case, then why we change the Mishnah's Rabbi Yishmeyer and not Rabbi Shimon? Right, says, no, you look at Rabbi Shimon in too expansive a way. Rabbi Shimon's just addressed in the last four cases in the Mishnah. Two of those cases he disagrees with, two of those cases he agrees with. When you shechted the Klavim, when you shechted the Refu'ah, he agrees that that case, that's a valid Shechita. If it's a valid Shechita, you're going to be Chayav. Cases of Shechita that Nimtzei Trefa, Shechita Chulin Bazara, which is an invalid Shechita, there he disagrees. But he's not addressing the first cases in the Mishnah, he's not addressing the first part of the Mishnah, and that we will say is the position of Rabbi Meir and not the position of Rabbi Shimon, which is what we just established in the Braisa, right? The Machlokes here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir says Chayav, and Rabbi Shimon says Patur. That's how we explain the whole Braisa, and we explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir. Right now, the next case in the Mishnah is Ganav Mishel Aviv, right? In the case where he was Ganav Mishel Aviv, the Tavachu Machar. He has a Tzicha Mechira. Ba Minei Rava Mir Rav Nachman. Ganav Shor Shel Shnei Shutvim. Perhaps if he steals a shore belonging to partners, Utbacho, and then he shechts it. V'hodulu achad mehem, and then he goes and admits to one of them that he shechts it. Now we know what's the din when you admit. Modeh b'knas is patur. So in this case, we know kefal and arba b'chamisha are punishments of knas. So he goes to the one he stole it from, he shechted from it, right? Modeh b'knas is patur. He's patur to that owner, to that partner, he's patur. Now what happens? Edim come along and say he stole it and he shechted it. So to the other partner, he's obligated to pay 4 or 5 times. But he's not obligated to pay the full 4 or 5 times. He's only obligated to pay half of the 4 or 5 times. For half of it, he's patur, because he's modeh b'knas. The other half, he's chayav. Ma, what's the din? Chamisha bakar, amar rachmana velo chamisha chas e bakar. That when the pasuk says you pay 5 times, it means a full 5 times, not 5 halves. Oh, dilma, chamisha bakar, amar rachmana velo chamisha chas e bakar. The third says 5, it means 5, and even 5 halves. I mean, it doesn't matter how you get there, it's 5 of whatever multiple you're chayav over here. So I'm like, chamisha bakar, machmana, below chamisha chatzei bakar. He says, no, it's exclusive, it's a whole, it only pays 5 times, not 5 halves. Eighth day is a question, it's gana, mishal aviv, and tavachu machar. He steals from his father, and tavach machar, v'achakar meit. And then his father dies afterwards, of achar meit aviv. Shalem, tashlumi, arva chamisha, he pays 4 or 5 times. Our case, what's the case over here? Why is he paying 4 or 5 times over here? He has a father. He stole from his father, and then his father died. Who inherits his father? He does. But who else inherits his father? Also his brothers. So you have multiple partners involved in the Yerusha over here. Yes, one of the partners already has what's called almost like a modeh b'knas. Why? For he himself, he towards himself, or he in relationship to himself is a modeh b'knas. And he knows that he stole it. He knows that he did the Bichon Mechira. That if he's Moses. So it's say him and another brother that are involved here. So with regards to himself, he was mother b'knat, he should be positive for Dalet b'chamisha. With regards to the other brother, he's a shutaf with his other brother, he's chayav Dalet b'chamisha. It's the exact same case of shnei shutvin, where you mother b'knat to one of the shutvin. Right, Biktani, and what does it say in there? In our case, in our mission, it says, "Shalom teshlumi arba b'chamisha." You pay 4 or 5 times. So it sounds it's exactly against your position over here. It sounds like even in a case where you're paying 50% or 5 times the 50%, you still pay it out. No, it's a case where the din was already completed before his father died. They were in Basin. They took him to Basin. They completed the din. So what do you say? Oh, if he wasn't made b'din, what's the din? He wouldn't pay 4 or 5 times. Our Mishnah is all the cases where you are chayav. We're going to have another Mishnah that brings the exact same cases with nuances in that say you're patur. What's the case in the next Mishnah? Ganav mishal aviv umeis. He stole from his father and then his father died. And then he did tevicha micha after his father died. Why is he patur? Why does he pay Arba Chamisha there? Because it no longer belongs to his father. He's now inherited. He's now a shutaf. He's a partner in that animal. He owns that animal. That he's Toveach and Mocher, his own animal. There you're not Chayav. Why do you have to go to such a stretched case of where his father already died? You can explain it even when his father hasn't died. Why? The only time you're Chayav without Chamisha is when you already had the din, meaning that there was already a Gemar din. But if there was no Gemar din, you wouldn't pay Dalet b'chamisha. Why do you have to go to such a stretched case to get the case where his father died before he did the Tzvicha Mechira? You could have a case where his father dies after the Tzvicha Mechira in both instances. One instance he was on Mad Bedin. One instance his father finished with him, took him to Beis Din, he's Chayav. The other case his father didn't take him to Beis Din and he wouldn't be Chayav. Why go so far? Right there, Zamalei Achi, Hachanami, you're right. True, you could have done that, but I didn't know Sibresha Gondam Mishal Aviv and Tavachar Machar Bakhremeis. Aviv, not to say, but Nami Ganam Mishal Aviv, made Aviv, Akhazab Makar. What about a parallel case? Parallel case where if his father died afterwards in the first case, they came out the other case where his father died before. So they just explained, you're true, you could have come up with a more narrow distinction. But we didn't use that more narrow distinction. The Gemara is just using parallel cases in the Mishnayot. The first case, Mishnah, has a case where his father died late. In the other case, the Mishnah, his father died earlier on in the process. But not in Akhanami, that it had it been that he died late and they hadn't had a Gemara then, he would have been Patur also. The Safra Amalei, Chamisha Bakar Amar Rachmana, Vakila Chamisha Chamisha Bakar, Bakar. In the morning he woke up and he changed his mind. He said, before he said, what? When Rav Nachman, when Rav Baba asked Rav Nachman Alokha, Rav Nachman Paskin, that is 5 whole and no halves. In the morning Rav Nachman got up and said, no, 5 and even 5 halves. How come I didn't tell you that last night? Hey, why didn't I tell you the same thing last night? Why didn't I come to the same conclusion last night? Says, "Bo akhlei bitra de Torah." I hadn't eaten any meat last night. So Rashi says that's allegorical. That means, "Bo akhlei bitra de Torah." Lo zikdaksi tamoshul devar. I didn't think about it so well. I didn't, you know, look. I wasn't right. Very good. Huh? Good. Right. I didn't chew on the issue. Right. I didn't get to the depth of the understanding here, and therefore now I changed my mind. Tosfos, on the other hand, says, no, the Lachlan Bistra Torah is Sharui B'tanitaya. He was fasting. He was fasting. If he was fasting, right, then he couldn't have eaten the meat. The problem with this is, right, when he was fasting last night, why is he not fasting in the morning? Like, what happened? I mean, what fast do you have that he's fasting at night, and then he's not fasting in the morning? Right? Right, right. Well, the fast ended that night, right, then he should have been, right, able to eat that night. Right, so you say what? Oh, he just finished the fast? Right,
he didn't get a chance
to eat. Right, so that's one possibility.
Right,
very good. So that's one possibility. So that Shari Tanis means not literally a Tanis like we think of today, like you know Tanis Esther or a Tanis Tisha B'Av or Tanis Tzibor. Right, but rather the Tanis he's talking about is that he just wasn't eating. He just hadn't eaten. He hadn't had a chance to eat yet. The other possibility is that I'm just suggesting this. There's a Ramah that nobody knows about. It's buried in the middle of Yerudea. But there's a Ramah that says that when it comes to after a fast day, that any fast day, one fast on a fast day, one should not eat meat after a fast day. That when one breaks their fast, that they should not eat meat and wine after they have broken their fast. Right, so that's, it comes up in Hilchot Tisha B'Av where, right, that there's a din in Basar V'Yayin that, for instance, when Tisha B'Av is a Nidche, turns out to be on the 10th day, then a lot of the things that we, after Tisha B'Av, we continue to have halachos of the 9 days until midday on the 10th, right? We do not apply them. When Shemshu was Nitche, they're mutter right away. They're mutter right away. Some of them are mutter right away. Some of them are only mutter in the morning. One of the things that's only mutter in the morning is basar v'yayin, right? That you can't eat basar v'yayin right afterwards. Because you can't go, one of these things, you can't go from a avelu straight into the basar v'yayin. But one of the things that brought down is this ramah, this unique ramah in your data that says that after a fast, you shouldn't eat meat, that you shouldn't break your fast on flacious. That it's not appropriate to break your fast on flacious. So maybe that's the case here. But Shari the Tanis was that he had a Tanis the day before. And he didn't have his bisvir the Torah. He didn't have meat that night because he had been Shari the Tanis the day before. So the Shari the Tanis the day before, he didn't have his meat. But in the morning already, right, he had his eggs and salami in the morning, so then he was ready to go, and he was able to get to the omek, get to the depth of this answer. So the maishna ratio, maishna seifa. The Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, then what's the difference between the ratio and the seifa? So it says, amarle ratio karina be utvacho kulo bi tsura. Seifa lo karina be utvacho kulo bi tsura. Right, what is the difference, right, between the ratio and the seifa? Meaning that if you now say that the case is not the omek bedin. Right, that he didn't, he wasn't omid b'din. If he wasn't omid b'din now, why in the ratio is he chayav, dalet, and chamisha? Whereas in the seifa, right, he is not chayav, dalet, and chamisha. So what's the answer? The answer is, it has to do with tvacho. The requirement of tvacho has to be kulo b'isura. Right, that the entire shechting has to be done b'isura. So if, in the case of the Reisha, when his father has yet to pass away, when he shechted the animal, it still belonged to his father, and therefore when he shechted the animal, it was kulo b'isura. It's kulo b'isura because it belonged to his father. When he shechted, he's shechting something that doesn't belong to him. On the other half, in the Seifa, where his father's already passed away, he is a partial owner of this animal now, because he's sharing it with his brothers. When he's sharing it with his brothers, when it's tmacho, it's not kulo b'isura. Why is it not kulo b'isura? Because, right, he's a part owner in this animal. He's a part owner in this animal, right? Then he's not doing a kulu b'isura, and that's why he's poter in the seifa case over here. So, the large Tosafot here, it's not that just going in. I'm going to show you in the front. Tosafot says, mashma, the first line of Tosafot, mashma, about keifel mechayev, apagab de omel amet b'din. Sounds from here that you're going to be chayev keifel even though there was no amida b'din. Va'afilu arva v'chamishachah mechayev elav b'in et v'cho kulu b'isura. And two, four, and five times, you'd also be chayav, even if you weren't omid b'din. Only the problem here is that you need kulo. It has to be all b'isura. Had it not been all b'isura. But it sounds like you'll be chayav keifel and chayav arba b'chamisha, even though there was no amida b'din. Right? So that's, how is that case? How could you have such a case? What's the implications of this? The implications of this is that a father can pass down a knas to his child. I mean, that the ability or the need to pay the knas, obligation to pay the knas as a child, meaning that the father now is morish to the other brothers, the ability to collect his knas, even though he was never omid b'din, right? When he's omid b'din, and then we say that knas beis din was mechayev him, then it becomes a chiyuv mamo. Because once beis din paskins and says you're chayav to pay, that's a chiyuv mamo. That he can pass to his children. But before beis din paskins on it, it's only a knas. In general, we have a principle that ain other morish knas levana. That a person is unable to pass on a knas to his children. And he says, that's what Tosafot says, that you have to say that Rav and Rav Nachman over here do not have that position, that you can't be Morish Knas Levanah, that you could be. According to this, Rav and Rav Nachman seems to be that you can pass a Knas onto your child. And they would disagree with the Sugya in other places, that they're passing Kefel and they're passing Arvo Chamisha without a Midah B'din. They're passing it down to the children, right, to collect on behalf of the father, even though there was no Amida B'din. Okay, we'll stop.